You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Elisa.
It's time. Episode 423, Geekiest Show Ever. And man, are we going to geek today.
We are going to geek
we
today.
We just spent the last 2 hours geeking.
And we're not geeked out yet.
We're not geeked out yet.
We're just getting started. That was like the warm-up.
Yeah.
But I'm tired because like there was math involved.
There was a lot of math involved.
And adulting. So much adulting and mathing and blah.
No.
It's all good. It's all good. Okay. While my brain is still kind of on fire, so and I haven't taken my Ritalin yet, but all right, let's see if I can do this. But I have some notes. So I wanted to tell you about before I forget, I had an experience with an app that I wanted to share. Now, this isn't something that you come across too often, which is what's cool about this. So when's the last time you had to fax something, Elisa? Faxing. Do you remember what that is?
Last century? Not really sure. We had a printer that was a fax machine, and it was terrible in both directions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you where you might still have to fax something. In the old-fashioned, the old curmudgeon-y, anything to do with government or medical, those are the two places that I can think of off the top of my head that are still hanging on with death grip to the fax. So, long story short, I had to fill out an application for something, and I'll tell you more about it later. There's no point in telling you about it or listeners about it now because it'll take a while. But anyway, I applied for something, and I had to fax something. And I was like, oh, faxing. When's the last time I faxed something? So I was digging around in some apps, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. I think I remembered that the scanner app that I use, which is called Scanner Pro... from Rattle. I wish I would just look up already how that's supposed to be pronounced.
I believe I have that one too.
Do you? Scanner Pro?
I do have it. So I've got Scanner Pro and Genius Scan. I just don't use those apps very often.
I use the scanning a lot. Now, I have been... Now, just to be fair, scanning is built into iOS. I'm sure it's built into Android. You know, you can just take a picture of a document, but it's nowhere near as good as an actual scanning app that's built for the job, because scanning apps will do more than just take a picture. It'll actually convert the image to black and white. It'll make the text nice and crisp, and it'll straighten out the edges. It'll actually make it look as if you had put it on a glass photocopier and actually made a photocopy of it, but with your phone. And the built-in way to do it within the Files app, have you ever done that with your phone? I mean, you don't need to have a dedicated scanner app per se, but there's extra things that a Scanner Pro app like this does that the built-in Files app just doesn't do. And one of those features is faxing. So normally, if you had to fax something, you'd have to either find somebody who has a fax machine, or you'd have to go to Kinko's or FedEx or like one of those places. And so I was able to do this late at night for like a couple of bucks. I think it cost me like $2. It was an in-app purchase. So let me just open it up. In the Rattle Scanner Pro app, I had filled out this application. In fact, I didn't have to even scan it because it was a PDF that I had made. So I just had to import it. So it was already a file. And so when I went to scan it, it was so easy. All I had to do was just follow the prompts. When I went to export this, at the bottom, you just tap export. And then right there in the top, there's a section that says send fax. And then it just walks you through it, tells you, you know, the title, the country. You kind of like you're addressing an email almost. You put the recipient name, their fax number, who it's from, your phone number, your email address, a comment, if you wanted to add a cover page. It just walks you through it, and then it just charges you as if you were purchasing an in-app purchase. And then it gives you a confirmation. Like, it'll tell you it can take, I don't know, I think it was like 3 hours or something, but it really didn't take that long. I think it took under an hour. I got a confirmation. The person called me the next day, said they got it, and it was great. So I was just So happy to have that feature. So if you need to fax anything, even if it's just a one-off, just get the Rattle Scanner Pro app, and it's built right into that. Like I said, it is an in-app purchase, but it's, you know, I think it's like 99 cents or something like that. And you only pay as you go. When I was trying to do research to figure out what am I going to use for faxing, so many of them, they might be free, but you had to create an account and then you had to sign up for a free trial. And then you have to remember to cancel the trial. And it was just, oh, it was so complicated. And this way you don't have to worry about canceling a trial, and you just pay when you need to use it. You don't have to pay a monthly fee. There's no subscription. It was just so much simpler. So that's my little tip for if you ever have to, on those rare occasions when you have to fax. And this was, I think it was like, it was under 10 pages. I think it was like 8 pages, and I think it cost me about $2. So there you go. So Scanner Pro, I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And then that was my quick thing. And then our major topic that we want to talk about today is SetApp. So you've been using SetApp for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. I recently became a SetApp affiliate. So I will have links for everybody in the show notes. So if ever you were curious about SetApp, or if you've heard of it, you might have heard us talk about it in the past, or you might have heard it mentioned or seen ads for it. So please check out our show notes, and I'll try to put a link in the show notes for the audio as well, so that you don't have to go too far. But you'll want to click on my link, and it'll take you to an online deal, which I will reveal later. So if ever you've been curious about trying it out, you might be even more curious after you hear us talk about it. It's a pretty good deal. So SetApp is basically like, if you are familiar with the Mac App Store or the iOS App Store, it is a type of app store, but instead of having to go in and buy the apps individually, each one, and then pay their in-app purchases, you just pay one. You can either pay a monthly recurring subscription. Like, say you just want to kick the tires. Like, you say you go through the trial and you're like, eh, I still think I might like this. You can pay a monthly subscription, you know, kind of like a month to month, you know, lease. You don't want to be locked into a contract. There's no contract or anything. But say you just want to try it for a while, you can pay month to month, or you can just pay one annual fee, which of course is going to be at another reduced rate. You always save money by paying the annual fee. But you pay one annual subscription fee. That's the way we recommend doing it. And then you get a bunch of apps at your disposal in one centrally located place. And it helps you keep them up to date. It's like one big smorgasbord of apps with reviews. So it's kind of like the App Store. Like I said, there's reviews and everything. It keeps track of which apps you've installed. It tells you when there's new apps that just came in. Like today, there's one that just came in. You can read the reviews. You can see the screenshots just like you can in the App Store. You can read the details about the app, and you just install it right there, and then it'll tell you when there's updates to it. So, I mean, that's kind of like the elevator pitch. Like, that's it in a nutshell. You pay one annual subscription, because you know how it's like death by 1,000 paper cuts with all these subscriptions? This is like one subscription to roll them all. You pay one subscription, and you get access to hundreds. What is it, like over 200? I think it's over 200 apps. And it's on the Mac and the iPhone and the iPad.
What's also nice is sometimes you need an app for that one specific purpose, mm-hmm. and SetApp has it. You download it, you do what you need to do, and then you just delete it from your computer.
Right.
But you can always re-download it again if you
just
need
like the App Store.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly the same thing. But there is one caveat. No guarantee it's going to be there.
Right. It's not like perfect. So we're going to talk about it like critically, the things that we love about it, things we don't like so much about it. And that's just because it is a really wonderful service. And so we're not going to be like bashing it. We're just going to say like, yeah, these things would kind of make it better. Because I think it's only going to get better from here. I mean, it's been, I don't know how many years have you been using it for? It's been out for quite a while. I only haven't been using it just because there was a bit of a barrier to entry for me. I just could never really afford it before. But like I was talking about on the last episode, now I'm in the market for a finance app, and I'm kind of looking for something like, how do I justify these costs of doing business? So now I'm looking for something to justify the cost. I'm looking for a finance app to manage it all. Well, MoneyWiz is part of SetApp. So now that I've kind of like kicked QuickBooks to the curb, not to totally bash QuickBooks. I mean, you know, people like QuickBooks, and there's, like I said before, there's lots of great, fantastic things about QuickBooks. But for somebody like me who's steeped in the Apple ecosystem, it's still just a deal breaker that you can't take payment right on your phone, like I said last time. And I just think that there's what I've come to realize, or I guess what the claim is that I'm going to make, that I'm going to set out to try and prove, that I think I can probably prove with setup, is that I believe, I'm just going to say at the outset here, I believe that for the price of what it would cost for a family membership to set up, not even just for me myself, but for a family membership, I believe that I could probably accomplish what I set out to accomplish with a second tier subscription to QuickBooks, and so much more for less, for a couple dollars less. If you were to compare two similar things, like, so QuickBooks is a service that allows you to run a small business and do invoicing and time tracking and collect payments and manage bank accounts and manage your finances, personal business, accept payments, send out payments, pay your bills, all that kind of stuff, you know, fold your laundry, fold your fitted sheets, all that kind of stuff, right? But setup is so much more than that. And for the same amount of money, and actually a couple dollars less for a whole entire family. So you could, with setup, this is the claim that I'm going to make, that I'm going to set out to prove, is that for a whole entire family, you could, with a setup family subscription, you could manage an entire family of four, you know, and your loved ones and your parents and stuff, and a small business like I am, for a family subscription that costs a couple dollars less than the second tier level of a subscription to QuickBooks. And QuickBooks only does that. It does that one niche thing, which is to manage a small business. It doesn't do all the other things that SetApp does, all the other applications that are involved in SetApp. It doesn't do all those other things. It just does that one niche thing, which is to help you run a small business. Whereas SetApp helps you do all these other things that are involved in their app store ecosystem. And so the keyword here is value. There's just such a higher value proposition for what you would pay for an annual subscription to SetApp compared to an annual subscription to QuickBooks, and you can still run your small business. That's my claim that I believe. That's my theory. That's my hypothesis. That's what I'm going to set out to try to prove over these next couple of months, because, like, I'm already trying out MoneyWiz and I'm already liking it better than what I found with QuickBooks so far. And I know that's a personal finance app versus a business, but I believe that the other tools that SetApp has for, like, time tracking and invoicing and managing your expenses, yes, it's cobbled together, but then again, so is QuickBooks. It's just cobbled together under one brand, but there's just so much onboarding involved that, you know, you're still going to be doing onboarding. There's still so many things to do. There's still so much involved. And SetApp kind of, like, I mean, it's prettier. There's just, it's so much more Apple-y. It's so much more Mac-y-like. It's so much more. And then there's iOS components. There's iPad. And then a few of the apps, like, I think MoneyWiz also has a, let me check. Yep. MoneyWiz has an Apple Watch component. So, you know, it's all kind of included in there. So that's my quick take on it. That's my TLDR at the top of the show. So you can stop listening now. No, just kidding. Just kidding. We're going to actually have a discussion about it. But that's kind of what we're going to be talking about. So if you're curious about what these kind of alternative app stores have to offer, then keep listening, because that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, there's two things you also have to keep in mind. One, and I mentioned it earlier, there's no guarantee that the app you love is going to be there a year from now.
Yeah.
It may very well be, or it may not. So that is a risk. For example, yes, they used to have iMazing. They no longer do, mm-hmm, which is okay with me because I purchased a license to iMazing. So I'm okay, you know, personally, I'm okay with that. But for the people who were using iMazing on a regular basis, all of a sudden it was bye-bye, mm-hmm, for whatever reason. It could be that iMazing didn't feel it was worth it to them. I don't know what the particular reason was. The other thing is, you have to look at the apps to decide if there's anything for you to make it, mm-hmm, worthwhile. I just think that there is a certain kind of person that this just wouldn't work for.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You know, you have to look at everything and say, okay, well, if I take these five apps, how much would it cost me if I bought a license for it outright? Exactly. If I didn't, how much am I going to use this? Is this a once a year thing? I only need it when I do my taxes once a year. Is this something I'm going to use every single day? Like I have a weather app on mine. So of course I'm using that every single day to see what the weather is. So you have to decide, is this worth it for me? Now, obviously, Melissa, the way you've been talking about it, it is worth it for you.
And it's worth it for me. Yeah, I think anybody who's like a gig worker or a small business owner, or even a student, somebody studying something, somebody doing maybe a teacher, anybody who is doing different kinds of projects. There's so many, you know, writers, there's so many different apps. And I just think in this type of economy that we live in this world now, there's so many gig workers. There's so many people doing side hustles. I just think it's going to be more and more popular as time goes on because so many people.
It's very easy. Yeah. It's very easy to find those apps because you can either do a search. You might say, hey, I thought someone said once upon a time that bartender was part of said app. So you can just do a search for bartender. Yep. Or you can look under, they have it separated in optimize, work, create, develop.
Yeah, their website makes it really easy to see if the app that you're thinking about, or even just the topic or the subject matter or the category of app that you're looking for. Like for me, I was like, well, does that app have finance apps? Because I am on the hunt for a finance app. Like you may be a writer, you know, say you want to be a screenwriter or something. You may be on the hunt for what's going to be the best writing app for you. You may be somebody who's into marketing or advertising, you know, maybe you want to get into graphics apps and, you know, maybe see if it's, or you're a college student and you know that you're going to need, you know, this and this kind of an app to do this and this kind of a project, or maybe you're going to be a volunteer. Maybe you have maybe you're at a school and you have a small budget, and you need to have some software. Maybe this is the way to go, you know, do a fundraiser and try to raise enough funds to be able to get enough money to pay for a year of this, and then you have enough money for the team to use it if you get a Teams license or something. I mean, there's just I can think of so many more ways for more people to be able to utilize this than not. I mean, if you're a retired person who's kind of like this is probably not for you. You know what I mean? Then you're probably better off just going to the app store and getting something one off. You know what I mean? But I also still know people who are retired and they still pay for a Microsoft license because they still write and they still collaborate. They still, even though they're retired, they still collaborate with people and they still give advice, or they still maybe they're a mentor for somebody and they still use those tools because that's what they know and that's what they like. And so they're still willing to pay for the software, even though they could use something free. It's not what they like or what they prefer. So they'd rather pay for the software that they know and are comfortable with. Why bother learning something new when you can just use what you know? And they're willing to pay for it. So life's too short not to be happy. You know? So you've been using it for a long, long time. Can you speak to the experience of, like, can you think of an app? Because I haven't experienced this yet. Can you think of an app that you were using that stopped being available in setup and then you had to go?
Just amazing. Now, mm-hmm. In full disclosure, I have a free subscription to setup because many years ago I was a writer. I did reviews from mymac.com. So they gave me a free license, and in exchange, I did a couple of reviews for it. Yeah, so I just want to, full disclosure there.
Yeah, and that's with a lot of software, you know, we review it, we kick the tires on it, and so, you know, that's why we get to review the licenses, because otherwise, how else would we be able to tell you about it? It would be a really expensive proposition to be able to pay for everything that we use. But yeah.
So the ones that I use is News Explorer, which is an RSS feed. Mm-hmm. So I use that one. And to be honest with you, I was looking at this before we recorded, and I totally forgot that I downloaded this, but I have Do on the Mac.
Yeah, you've always talked about that all the time. And when I saw that, I was like, that's the one. Yep.
I use it constantly on the phone. And I must have set it all up because I went, oh, I have that.
Yep.
And I said, because I saw it there and I said, open. I'm like, really? I did that? And then I opened it and had all my reminders on there. I'm like, I completely forgot. clean my Mac. A lot of times clean my Mac will pop up and say, hey, you know, you're using too much RAM. Should I, you know, clean it up for you? I'm like, yeah, cool. And I'll go through it. I'll use it to update apps or to delete some apps if I don't want any more, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I do have iStat menus, but I still don't know how to use that. That's still like way above my pay grade. I just still can't figure that out. Paste I have, which is a, you know, copy and paste utility, though I don't really use it. When I open it, it sits at the bottom of your screen, and I kind of use it more to see more of a visual history of what I copied, whereas the clipboard manager that I use is just some freebie that I got on the App Store, and that just shows you the link. Mm-hmm. So I don't use Paste the way it really should be used, to be honest. Bartender I have. I cannot live without Bartender. Bartender takes all your menu bar items and just puts them
in a nice little bow tie.
Yeah, yeah. So that
are you using the bow tie or what's your icon?
I use the eyeglasses. I use the sunglasses.
Oh, you like the nerdy glasses. See, I have the bow tie.
I use the sunglasses. And that way, you know, they're easily accessible, but they're out of your way.
I like mine is I use the rounded corners because I have the notch on my MacBook Pro and I have it set to have the cute little rounded corners. You can customize it and all that kind of stuff. So I've gone and then done that.
So I got Forecast Bar, which tells me the weather, which is great. I have Clean Shot X, which is a way of taking screenshots.
So I love that one.
Yeah, yep. I use it more for the scrolling. If like when I go to concerts, I go to setlist.fm and I take a screenshot of the setlist that the artist sang and I put it in Photos with, you know, the ticket stub, and because that's what I do. And usually it's too long to take just, you know, Shift Command 4 mm-hmm. to do a screenshot. Yeah. So I just use a scrolling and I can do it all in one, you know, one fell swoop instead of having to take screenshots and try to put them together. It's a pain in the neck. So I
do
like
that. Do you remember
that.
Sketch?
Yes, I still have
Clean
Sketch.
Clean Shot products. It reminds me of Sketch because I haven't done it yet because I just started using it. But I remember in Sketch you could, you know, you can annotate your screenshots and you could upload them to the Sketch cloud and then copy and paste a link. Well, this does the same thing. You can set up like a free cloud account. And so, yeah, I haven't done that yet, but it reminds me of that because I miss Sketch. I love Sketch.
I still have Sketch on my Mac. Every now and then I
really?
Do use it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It still works.
It still works.
Yeah.
I wondered if maybe Clean Shot, I wonder if that Clean Shot X maybe they bought them or something. Mm. So there are two separate ones.
And there is one called Download. It's called Downy, which you can download YouTube videos. So I have had reason to have to do that and kind of strip out the music sometimes. So I have used that occasionally. Yep. But there's, you know, like you were saying before, Melissa, if you're a writer, they have Ulysses.
Yes.
Which is a huge program for people who like to write books or term papers or long form writing. And if you
distraction free.
Yeah. If you are someone who also listens to the Mac Geek Gab or you watch screencasts online, Mac Geek Gab will reference Set App a lot. They'll mention a particular app and they'll go, I think that's in Set App. And then they look it up and go, yep, that's in Set App. Mm-hmm. And Screencasts Online, a lot of times when they're doing a tutorial, they'll say, you can get this at the Mac App Store. It costs, you know, X amount of dollars. Or if you have a Set App subscription, it's there. And that's how I downloaded Solver, which is a calculator. Mm-hmm. And I have it set up in my menu bar. So when I want to do a quick calculation, I just go up in the menu bar, type everything in, I look at the total, write it down if I need to, and move on. So I really like that. And I got that from Screencast Online. So there's a lot of things here that are just little things that make your life easier.
And they're so beautifully designed. I mean, there's nothing in here that I've seen that I've previewed so far that is ugly, that you think, like, how did that get there? I mean, they're all so beautifully designed. Everything is just so nice to use. Everything. I'm excited because, I mean, I have a background. I have an art degree. And so I just really enjoy looking at really well-designed software. And then just talking about just a couple of the ones that I've gotten started with is one's called Session that I really like. And that's on both my iPhone and my Mac. And that's the other thing, too, is it did take me a little bit to learn how to install the iOS version of this. And I wanted to go over that really quickly because that is a little bit tricky. I did bork one of them, and I wrote to the developer, and then I wrote back and I was like, never mind, I figured it out. And I forget which one it was. But anyway, so you have to, I think there's kind of an order of operations.
Okay. Tell me, because earlier when I checked into my account, I have the option of downloading iOS also. And I didn't. Yes. So tell me what to do. I'm going to follow along.
Which app are you looking at? I'll go to the same one.
Don't you have to download, do you download the entire set app onto your phone, or do you do it app by app?
You do it app by app. So, for example, we both have the Explorer open on our Macs together. Mm-hmm. So tell me which app it is that you're thinking about putting
iOS. I thought I had to download the set app to my iOS. Okay. Nope. So let's do this together.
Yep. So you start out on the Mac in your Explorer.
Okay.
So find a Mac app that has an iOS component to it. Well, let's just do... I've already installed it, so I don't know. Let's just do Session. I think you might like that one. And like you said, you can just delete it if you don't like it. So find the app called Session.
Okay, I've got it. It says Get iOS App.
So, well, first of all, download and install the Mac app.
Okay.
And hopefully this won't make you Cylon. And this is nice, so we'll walk through this. So while Elisa's installing that, oh, nice. Okay, so this is a Session app. This is a Pomodoro timer with analytics. It tells you the version number. It's 105 megs. It's native on Apple Silicon. It's translated in 22 languages. Okay, so you've got the Mac app, right? And you can open it. Mm-hmm. You've got it installed. Okay, so now in your Explorer, click where it says Get iOS App.
Okay.
So now you'll see it says Get Session Pomodoro Focus Timer in iOS in two steps. So the first thing it's going to say is install iOS app. And so what you're going to do is scan that QR code that shows up on your Mac screen.
Okay.
And what that's going to do is it's going to take you to the iOS app store where you can tap Get.
Okay.
And then before you go to the next step, just let me know once it says open.
Okay, it is downloading now.
Mm-hmm. It should go pretty fast. Now, this is where I screwed it up because I think the next... I'm not doing this along, but I'm trying to do this from memory. So I think that once it says open, I think that the next step is you click where it says next step on your Mac. And then it takes you where it says unlock full version. So now what you're going to do is you're going to, with your phone, before you even tap that open button, go ahead and scan this QR code.
I already hit open, so let me go back to the App Store.
See if this will still work, because I think you have to scan this code before you open it.
Okay, so let me get back to...
This may or may not work. If it doesn't work, you might have to delete it and reinstall it, because I think that's what I ended up doing to fix it.
It says open in session. Okay, come on.
It should say something about, you know, being registered with SetApp or something like that.
I'm trying to think of which app it was. It came up open in session, and when I clicked it, nothing happened, and now it's not allowing me to... Let me click unlock full version again. Okay, there we go. Open in session. Come on.
Where does it say open in session on your phone?
On my phone. Okay, there we go. Okay. You haven't logged in yet. Please create an account. Log in first to activate account and sync between your devices.
Okay, that was mine too. And all that just means is you just give it your email address. It'll send you a code. And then that's just so that you can sync whatever you set up. That's not typical of every app. That's just for this one particular app. And that's just so it can sync between your iCloud.
All right, but it's not giving me the option to do that. It's just started a session on my phone.
Oh, okay. Well, you can go ahead. So that just means that you're able to use it and you didn't have to pay like any in-app purchases or anything. Yeah, let's try a different app. Because it might have gotten confused because you tapped open too soon.
Yeah, possibly.
Let me think of what else do I have that is...
Delete that.
I'm going to look for an app that I installed that... Oh, how about Tripsy? Ooh, I bet you would like Tripsy. Yeah. Have you ever used TripIt?
No.
You don't have to, but it's a part of it.
Plan trips on Mac and iOS.
Yeah, let's do Tripsy. So install it on your Mac.
Okay.
Let's try Tripsy. Let me open mine in Tripsy.
Thank you for subscribing. Okay, create a trip. Okay, so now I've opened that. Oop, delete. Yes, I want to delete that. Okay, so I've opened that. So now I do get iOS app.
Mm-hmm.
Tripsy, get.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, before you tap open, just don't tap open. Okay. Make sure that you scan the QR code before you tap open.
Okay.
Because I think that the next QR code, what it does is I think it opens the app and registers it with your setup.
Okay, so next step, unlock full version, scan this QR code,
mm-hmm.
and oops, open in Tripsy. Tripsy would like to send notifications. We'll skip that for now. Thank you for subscribing. We appreciate your traveling with Tripsy.
And sometimes it'll say something to the effect of, like, you know, you're a setup subscriber. It may or may not say that.
It said something, but it went away so quickly I couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm. But either way, it unlocks the full version for you then.
Okay, cool. Okay.
So now you have another one that's installed on your iPhone that is also on your Mac. So when you go and plan a trip in Tripsy on your Mac or on your iPhone, they should sync between the two. And I love it because a while ago, I had planned a bunch of trips. I mean, for years now, I used TripIt, but just the free version. So that has limitations. But I went and synced all that stuff into Tripsy. And now, because I have setup and I am using Tripsy through setup, I won't have any limitations. And I can just plan all kinds of stuff to my heart's content. And it's all included in Tripsy.
Hmm.
I think you would love that app with all your planning and cruising and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I got a lot of trips coming up, so...
Yeah. I'll be interested in hearing what you have to say about that.
Yeah, I'll look at that later.
You're going to totally geek out on that one. So then we can geek out on Tripsy in a future episode.
Okay.
And that's got a 91% rating just in the setup ratings. And that's a native Silicon app. You can store itineraries, documents. Let's see, what's another one we can do that might tell you? It's another one that has... an iOS app. Calendars from Readle, but that one's a little more complicated.
I have Fantastical.
Yeah. MoneyWiz, that one has an iOS version. There's time trackers.
Yes, that's not something I'm trying out.
That's not something you would use. Well, give MoneyWiz a try.
Yeah.
See if you might like that.
Yeah, I don't do that stuff. I mean, if you are someone who works, if you are write code or you're a developer of any kind, there's a ton of stuff here.
Oh, yeah.
There's a ton of stuff here. There's for, you know, SSH, there's SQL, Code Runner, create animated HTML5 content, fancy Git client for macOS.
One of the ones that I'm really loving is that one called Session. That I just had you install.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why, because I'm really trying to work with my ADHD and I've been using that. It's called Session. It says work in short intervals. And I'm trying to focus more on, like, okay, so I'm only going to give myself, you know, 15 minutes to go snack on social media. So I can actually use that app to set a little timer and then it kind of guides my focus, you know, throughout the day and it kind of logs it. So I can, you know, kind of see like how much time I'm spending on stuff. Cause like this morning I was like, okay, I'm just going to spend 5 minutes looking this thing up. And I ended up extending it like three times for 5 minutes. So something that I thought was going to take 5 minutes ended up taking three times that long. That just tells you, like, with ADHD, you just have such terrible, terrible time blindness. And this app is really helping me.
Oh, it's not just that. It's not just ADD. It's when you get involved in something you don't want to stop. Like when I do genealogy. Yeah. Oh, let me check this one thing before I start making dinner. And then you look and you go, oh, my God, it's 6 o'clock.
This is why we burn things. This is why we're not allowed to cook.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that too. But
yeah. Yeah. So it's just like little things like that. It's like, you know, this is something that I've had a need for. It's like I knew I had this need. I knew that there were tools that existed. But until I sat down to start looking at these, like, this just presented it to me in a way that really worked for my brain. So it organizes it by catalogs. I mean, I don't know. Maybe somebody with ADHD designed this. I wonder. Because I find it really, really helpful. And the other great thing about it that I was just going to say is, as I'm looking through the, so in the setup app that you do install on your Mac, and like we just said, there's not a setup app that you install on your iPhone right now, but on your Mac, it is. It's kind of sort of in a way like the App Store in that it's the place where you go to download the apps. But unlike the App Store, let's see, on the App Store, yeah, you can't. Yeah, there isn't a way to. Yeah, that's the beef that I've always had with the App Store. Like, I just opened it up. Anytime I see an app that I think, oh, yeah, I don't have time to deal with that right now, but like, or maybe I want to wait for that to go on sale, or oh, that's an app that I want to evaluate, or oh, that's an app I want to write to the developer about, I always end up having to, you know, copy and paste a link, put it in the notes, and then like forget about it, right? There's not really a way to bookmark things or create a wish list or anything like that. But in the setup app, they have a whole favorite section. So as I'm looking in the My Explorer section, you know, I'm going crazy. Like, I'm looking at it by the collections. I can look at it by the category, and I can say, oh, that looks cool. Oh, that looks cool. And like each one that I want to come back to, I can just put a little heart next to it. And then later on, when I have more time to devote to it, I can schedule a session for it in that app. And it can say, okay, this time I'm going to devote, you know, the next hour to just looking through all the hearts and downloading those apps and saying, okay, I'm going to try this app. I'm going to try this app. You know, there's plenty of them. Of course, I just want to download all of them, but I realize that I just can't do that. So you kind of have to be picky and choosy about it. But, you know, they make it pretty easy to do that. So I have a whole section of things that I have hearted. Like when I was going through, I was like, oh, there's Do, the one that you've always been talking about.
I love Do.
For the, yeah.
There's so also I have that Gemini hearted to try. Here to yep, find have duplicates. That
one. Yep.
You can do that one. There's mm-hmm. Huda Spot. I think they talked about that on Screencast Online if you want to find your files faster. There's Good Task to sync your to-dos with your reminders.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of stuff here. And sometimes a good thing to do is maybe you're looking for a particular to-do list or mm-hmm. reminder list. And maybe you've got something particular in mind and you look it up on yep. SetApp. They might have it, they might not have it, but if they don't have it, they might have something similar.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because you just don't know. I mean, this is how it helps you discover it.
Yeah.
One of them that isn't in here that I wish was in here would be the Miles IQ app, because I just signed up for that and I wish that was in here. So that might be something where I might approach the developer and say, hey, you know, you really should be on SetApp, because like I said, my claim is that I really do believe that with enough input from different developers, I really believe that you could probably get away with purchasing one SetApp subscription. And it could really take care of all of your small business needs by just having that one subscription. And you'd have all of these apps. I mean, yes, it would be cobbled together, but it would be cobbled together in such a supportive way, because, I mean, all you need is Clean My Mac, because then that would help you keep up to date with all of the updates. Because, you know, when you have all of these different apps to manage, that would be one of the downsides, is that the maintenance, because if you've got, like, say I'm just going to keep picking on QuickBooks just because it's there. I mean, that was what I was kind of hoping to do, was I did want one app to rule them all. I wanted one Swiss Army knife type of an app that would do it all. But I kind of think that's a little bit of too tall of a task. And I don't know. I think that it's probably better to do it in separate apps, the path that I'm taking now. The benefit of doing it with one app would be that, yeah, then it's just one app to have updated. So you only have that one app update to worry about. Whereas doing it piecemeal like this, you do have to keep up with different updates. But like I just said, you know, if you have Clean My Mac, there's a feature that's built right into Clean My Mac that will keep your apps up to date. So all you have to do is just build that into your workflow, and that will help you keep your apps up to date. That keeps both your apps that you have downloaded from the App Store and the apps that are installed on your Mac. So, I mean, that'll just take care of everything. So I mean, where there's a will, there's a way, you know, there's so many ways to do this if you just kind of like build your workflow. And there's apps in here that'll help you manage that kind of stuff. So I really do think that it's very, very plausible. I think it's very, very doable to be able to build a small business around just a single setup subscription. And like you said, I mean, there's going to be times where an app might fall out of the setup store for whatever reason. And that's the prerogative of the app developer. And, you know, we should try to figure out, like, you know, why that is and what can be done to either keep that developer happier or, you know, what causes that to happen. I don't know. Or how do you get more developers to get their apps into the setup store? I would be interested in trying to find out what that process is like. And, you know, do you get forewarning or, you know, do they let you know, like, hey, you know, heads up, like, you know, next year we won't be there. So this is the last year or something. I don't know what that process is like. That's something, that's a question that I have that I need to answer. But if you can prepare for it, that's one thing. If not, you know, you just kind of need to know ahead of time going into it, like, hey, this is an app that I'm going to be really invested in, like a finance app. Like, let's say, for example, I fall in love with MoneyWiz and I decide to put all my eggs in that one basket. Well, then I probably need to be prepared that if they decide to leave setup for whatever reason, you know, this is what I can expect to budget for. Cause, you know, hey, it's a finance app and it'll help me do that, right? You know, I just have to be prepared to be able to pay that little bit of extra. But I still think even if that would happen, I still think it's gonna be about the same or less than what you would pay for one really, really costly app. But you're getting all these apps for the price of that. You know
that
what I mean?
Automatically, like, update. So you don't have to worry, yes. Oh, the new version's out. Do I want to spend the money to update? Even though they're exactly. giving me a discount, I'm good with what I've got. I'll let it go. It will automatically update for you.
Yeah, because I know people, and I've done it myself. I mean, you know, there's been apps where I just hang on to a version that's, you know, three versions behind. And I've seen other people do that too. They just don't want to spring for the newer version of something. But then you're either losing out on features or things are broken. And I mean, I've seen people who are still hanging on to 1Password 7, or I've seen like 1Version 6 out there. It's like, oh my God, let's go. 1Version 8, but they don't want to pay the subscription, you know? And it's like, have you not decided that this is enough of a valuable utility in your life that you can justify the cost of this? I mean, come on. So, yeah. And you and I were crunching the numbers before, so I kind of have it all broken down. And we did slice it and we diced it, and it does end up turning out. Now, they do offer an educational discount. So, like, just in this household alone, we have 3 people who would qualify for an educational discount. But even after I added up all of that stuff, it still works out to being a better deal to do the family plan for the 4 of us. So, and even with all of that, I think I worked it out where this is just an example for my family. So we all use 1Password. We all use the Apple One plan, because that's the better, you know, the best value for all of the services. I mean, and that's so chock full of things, like, you know, your iCloud storage, the fitness, the Apple Music. Plus, we haven't done it yet, but that eventually will host our email and our domains and things like that. It has some security built into it. So it's a bit of a hefty price, but for what you get, it's a pretty good value. So we've got 1Password for families, plus the Apple One. Plus, if we were to add on the setup, I think we would end up be paying probably around $61 a month per family member. So you figure, like, that's kind of like a utility bill, you know, that's like, you know, that's a little bit more than the heating bill. That's it's less than the electric bill. I mean, it's, you know, it's, I just look at it like a
less
utility
than your
bill.
Heating bill. Oh.
Oh, no, no, no. It's no, our heating. Well, come on. I live in the desert. Yeah. You know, well, you live in a colder climate. I think my heating bill is like still under $40.
Oh.
It's my electric bill that I wouldn't want to say out loud. That would be horrible, because everything's electric out here, and our HVAC is just, you know, yeah. But I'm just saying, it's the price that you pay for being able to do, to live as a digital citizen. It's the price you pay of digital citizenship. Say that 10 times fast. Mm. I mean, you know, you could do everything the old fashioned way. You could do everything in a not so secure way and write all your passwords down on post-it notes and use the same password everywhere and get hacked and, you know, lose all your money and, you know, pay somebody a whole lot more than $61 a month to fix it all for you, you know, or you can just pony up the $61 a month and be safe and happy. Life's too short.
I got to say, on a side note about that, I have been getting a lot of emails lately from various companies that when I first see the email, my heart drops. And then when I read it, I'm like, oh, okay. They are warning customers about scams and don't reuse your password and be careful of scams and be careful of phishing. And, you know, we protect your security this way and we will never, you know, email you and ask you for your password or your social security number, things like that. So I'm thinking, okay, these companies are starting to come around and realize, you know,
that they can't fix stupid.
that this is happening, and I better let my customers know that they need to start paying more attention.
It's a social conditioning. Yeah. Yeah, this is what I've been saying. It's what I've been saying about the pass. It's about the pass keys.
Yeah.
Companies are going to want to protect their bottom line.
Well, and the pass keys
telling people
have been horrible.
Knock it out. Knock it off. Stop reusing your damn passwords.
Yeah.
You know, think about what you're doing here. Don't click these links like we've been telling you for years. First, it was like stop forwarding emails from Aunt Edna.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, if it's typed out in all caps, there's probably a good chance that it's not the truth. It's just like, use some critical thinking skills here. Stop getting your stuff hacked. We're tired of paying for these services to monitor your credit.
Yeah. Oh, well, I just got one from Ticketmaster.
Take some personal responsibility,
sitting on my
please.
Desk.
Hey. Oh, my God. Yeah. No, I mean, I joke. I say you can't fix stupid. You just can't fix. And I should just say just people who just don't know better. And we do. I mean, this is social conditioning. This is an education. People need to understand you can't keep reusing the same passwords.
Oh,
you can, but you shouldn't.
They're still doing things like, you know, dog. But I used a zero instead of an O. I'm like, oh, yeah,
I know.
No. And then, you know, like even Tom, my husband, he would look at me, what's the password to blah, blah, blah. Oh, 7QZ9 colon. And he's like looking at me and like, try hacking that.
Yeah, I know. I know. I show sometimes when I'm trying to teach somebody about password hygiene, they're like, it's so long. It's so complicated. I'm like, yeah, because you just have to copy and paste
it. That's why God made copy and paste.
I was like, I don't even know most of my password. I just looked the other day. I just helped someone sign up for 1Password recently. And I was trying to show them like how much it manages. I just looked and I had over 2,000 pieces of information in my 1Password. It's not a password manager anymore. It's a credential manager. It's an estate planner. It's so much more than just a password manager. That's why I'm saying it's a valuable tool. That's why I'm looking at it as a utility. Like, I mean, you could live without electricity, right? Like you could live without running water. You really could. But why would you want to? Why would you want to live without electricity? Why would you want to live without heat? Why? I mean, you can live without cable, believe it or not. And I want to live without cable. I would rather have internet. But even that is becoming a pain in the you know what, because now it's like we tried to run away from cable to cut the cord only to have to deal with now everybody still wants their pound of flesh. It's like they're going to get you coming and going no matter what. But there's so many things that you could live without, but life's too short. So why would you want to? There's so many things that you should live without, and you should stop paying for those things so that you can afford these other nice things that you shouldn't, you know, life's too short. You can live without that cup of coffee. But maybe you don't want to. I get that. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I mean, I just never really don't send me hate mail, please. I like tea.
I drink both. So we should probably wrap up because I just got a notification of a severe thunderstorm warning.
Oh, yeah.
Because I am noticing that Shocking. It's starting to get a little dark out there.
Yeah, it's coming.
Like, oh, good.
Oh, that's okay. We had a good discussion about this. And this is not the last time we'll be talking about this because, I mean, this will be an ongoing thing. I just started diving into this and I'm having so much fun already. So I think maybe we'll do like a little... maybe the next couple of episodes, maybe we'll do like a little tiny catch-up segment. Like, so Melissa, so Elisa, what are you using in setup this time? What did you download from setup lately?
Yeah, I got to pay more attention and spend more time because I just don't. I've been focusing. I've been a crossword puzzle buff, and that's what I've been focusing all my energy on. I have done. Mm-hmm. I cannot begin to tell you how many crossword puzzles, actual puzzles, and we hang them up on the wall in the basement.
I was going to say, you do glue them together and frame them, don't you?
We use Mod Podge.
That's cool.
And then I buy a frame off of Amazon because I can't find the size anywhere else. And
yeah.
So it ends up costing like $50 between the puzzle and the frame. And
so you don't even have to paint your walls. Your walls are going to be all decorated.
The walls
with were
painted and now they're just being covered in puzzles.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
It's a disease. And I have
I want to see pictures.
I have about 10 of them. I have about 10 of them on the wish list.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just finished one today. I highly recommend, if you are into puzzles, I highly recommend Eurographic brand.
Oh, yeah?
They're really, take a picture later and show you, but they have, like the one that I did was across the top, it says ice cream, and it has like maybe six across and five or six rows. It's 20 inches wide by 27 inches high. They're really quality pieces, but they're the kind of pieces where... there's only two shapes. And the two shapes
easy
make...
to put together.
No, that makes it harder.
Oh, harder?
Because
really?
You have the two shapes that go around the border, but then you only have one shape for the inside. It's the kind where it's got, if you're holding it in portrait mode, it has like the two prongs that stick out, one at the top and one at the bottom. And then on the sides, they have like the in, like they, the where the prongs go into. Kind of like a,
insert tab A into slot B.
Yeah. So that means that as you're looking at the puzzle, it goes portrait, landscape, portrait, landscape, portrait, landscape. Mm. So that makes it harder because you can't go, oh, okay, this is one that has the four prongs. So I know it's got to be this shape.
Mm.
So that makes it harder. So I've got it in ice cream, donuts, flowers. I have that one in the sunroom. Today I finished coffee. There's another one I'm missing. What's the other one that I'm missing?
I was going to say, I'm detecting a theme here.
I'm going to buy, they have holidays, so they have Halloween, which is all cookies and candies, Christmas, and Valentine's Day.
Aw.
So I said to Tom, what we'll do is the one where the ice cream is right now, which is in the kitchen by the door. I said, that one will come down. We'll put up the Halloween.
Oh, you'll have a Halloween.
Then the Halloween will come down, and we'll put up the Christmas. And the Christmas will come down. We'll put up the Valentine's. And then we'll put the ice cream back up and then just store the other three. And, you know, I just get the look. Like, I don't know if you can see, but that one back there of Fenway Park. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, that's a puzzle?
That's a puzzle.
Oh, cool.
That's a panorama of Fenway Park. He's got, my husband did the one for the New York Giants. At MetLife Stadium.
He's in the puzzles too, huh?
Oh, yeah. And now he's going to be doing one for the Yankees. Same thing.
Now
just like
all you need is an LED frame so you can light them up.
And then we have one Monet's water lilies that we have over the door.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Going outside, but we couldn't frame it because there's not enough room to be able to put it in a frame. So, that one was, and the one we're doing now, well, that Tom's doing, I do not do puzzles with other people, but the one that Tom is doing now, I looked on Amazon one day and went, oh, this is perfect for the half bathroom. It's toilet paper rolls. It's just rolls of toilet paper, and he is ready to throw it against the room because it is just shades of white and gray.
Oh,
and it's really hard. I'm like, but it'll look so nice in the half bathroom when you finally finish it.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
So that's a long-term project.
Oh, my.
But I digress, Melissa. If people want to get in touch with us, how would they do so?
I don't know if they're going to want to now.
Tell us about your toilet paper puzzle.
Right. But not made out of toilet paper.
Exactly.
Although, yes, you can head on over to geekiestshowever.com. There's a tab there you can click and fill out the contact form, and that'll shoot us an email. Or if you prefer, you can just email us. Our email address is podcast@geekiestshowever.com. And we are social beings, so we are on the socials. Where are we on the socials, Lisa?
Us social beings? No way.
Way.
Way. We are on Threads and Instagram at Geekiest Show Ever. Mastodon, the show is at Geekiest Show Ever at techhub.social. I am at SenseiDai at mastodon.social. Melissa is at the Mac Mommy at mastodon.cloud. And if you're looking for Melissa, go to themacmommy.com and you can find all things Melissa.
That's me.
That's true. We want to thank you so much for listening. We will be back again in a couple of weeks. And until then, please stay safe.